the experience of recreating our belief system is about being willing to tumble some blocks. And many of the people who come to Science of Mind, most of the people, didn't grow up in Science of Mind. They grew up in some other belief system and may have had a contradiction of belief in tumbling any of the beliefs that we were taught as children were absolute and sure. And excuse me, that absoluteness is something that we eventually need to perhaps tumble, that there may not be an absolute to turn to, but rather an ever-expanding possibility that shows us more and more fully the cosmic truth of life. And so creating a playful life with brownie papers and tall stacks of, yes, it's the armless one. There's such beauty in the creativity of what we have. And if you think about just the little experience of doing the blocks, how much fun it was to mold the experience, that's the creative energy of God. The stacking the blocks up, that's the creator aspect of ourselves. And the tumbling the blocks down, the Hindus say there are three faces of God, the creator, the destroyer, and the maintainer. The tumble blocks is the destroyer energy of God. It's our willingness to shift and change. And then the maintainer is that part of ourselves that looks it and loves it and wants it to stay, that is reluctant, perhaps, to tumble the blocks. And at any one time, there are many blocks that probably are stable and loving and beautiful and graceful in your life, and you want to maintain those. You don't want to change every relationship you have, or your relationship with yourself, or your relationship to Source all the time. But for most of us, there's one place where we feel a little bound, where we feel a little stuck or unfree, where we've imprisoned ourselves in consciousness, where we can allow ourselves to maybe tumble some blocks and change our lives. People like Reverend Hillary and Arlene now, who are uprooting themselves and moving off to a whole new lifestyle or a whole new place to be, are tumbling their blocks really powerfully. And I went to the dermatologist this week. I tumbled some blocks that I was holding on my face. And sometimes when you're in the process of moving to a better state, the state looks worse in the meantime. You know, the mess of the ultimate, the mess is created on the path to the ultimate vision that you have of what you want is a temporary state, but it's easy to get lost in the temporary state. You know the old statement, when you're up to your ass in alligators, it's hard to remember that your original vision was to drain the swamp. And in that middle period, you sort of get focused on the middle period rather than the intention that you had to begin with, and the possibilities that you have for getting to where you really wanted to go. Because there is no place. We are ultimately free. There is no end point to life, even death, because life is eternal. And so all of those structures that we create in our lives, no matter how beautifully we arrange the blocks, all of the structures are temporary. All of them. And yet we think that they're so stable and so secure and so, you know, we've got to protect them and ensure them and guard them and guide them and know that they're always going to be here. Well, nothing is always going to be here. except the infinite nature of God. And so we have a lot of possibilities for changing our thinking, to look at other possibilities. When you were playing with your blocks, did you notice that other people did things with blocks you hadn't thought about? And that it's possible to learn from the blocks of others, to learn from the ideas of other people, to learn from the ways other people are doing things. And in Science of Mind, we also teach that it's possible to connect with Source directly and come up with concepts and ideas and rearrangements of the blocks that come from inside out rather than just all the learning coming from the outside in. And there's a remarkable example of that. Buckminster Fuller was a really remarkable man. And when he was 5 years old or 4 years old, he developed something called the octet arch. And it later, as he became an adult and an engineer, became the foundation of the structure of large buildings that are used throughout the country today. But the story of how he invented that arch was fascinating, because he was a little kid basically playing with blocks. His teacher had given the class toothpicks and told them to build a structure that was stable. And Bucky was functionally blind when he was a child. He didn't get glasses until he was 6. And he had never really comprehended that buildings were square. And so when he began building his structure, he didn't have a preconceived notion of what the structure would look like. And in the context of building a structure that was stable, he built an arch instead of a square. Every other kid built a square or a rectangle because they knew that that's how buildings were built. But Bucky wasn't limited by his vision of what had already been done. He had a new idea. And each of us have access, the freedom to access that infinite nature within us that has new ideas, or at least really interesting rearrangements of old ideas. So in the same way that we can tumble the blocks of the house that we live in and move to a new city, which tumbles the blocks of the friendships and relationships that support our everyday life, which changes our schedules and so on, we can tumble the blocks of our philosophy and allow new ideas and new possibilities to be experienced. And one of the questions that tumbled some blocks for me recently, I was listening to an Abraham tape, and actually it was when they were here last month, I was sitting in an Abraham workshop, and they said to this woman, instead of asking how you can fix what's wrong, why not ask from a universal perspective, how can I see that this is right? And come at whatever I'm looking at and judging as wrong as in some way an example of the unfolding of the law and the love of God. To ask a question, to see from a higher perspective. And it's really fascinating to be willing to be free enough to see the possibility that something that we've known and been taught and been convinced is wrong could in some way have a thread, an inkling, a light within it of rightness blossoming. Because Ernest Holmes said, there is nothing to be disintegrated or reintegrated. There is only that to be revealed which has always been whole. And if we accept that there is a wholeness somewhere, and we look for the wholeness instead of trying to fix the unwholeness, then maybe life will look different. If we open to the possibility that all is well right now, and we can have life even better than it is now, rather than there is something wrong here, that imprisons us when we declare it and judge it wrong. But when we open to wholeness, and freedom, we can find what's right. Because what we intend, what we look for, we find. When we ask, the answer is given. But we have to ask the positive question. And that's where the greatest freedom lies. In being willing to tumble the blocks of the judgment and ask the question about the wholeness. And then sit in the knowing that wholeness is, and await the revealing of that wholeness. To me, that's the greatest freedom. The greatest freedom is to be willing to question where is the good coming from here? Where is the beauty? Where is this the answer to the prayer already? And how can I make this life that I'm living right now more beautiful for myself and everyone I touch? That feels like freedom to me. And each of us will define freedom in our own way. When I was personally writing about freedom, this month I wrote, "Freedom is living as the spirit that created the form as well as the form. Freedom is living as the spirit that created the form as well as the form." That divine spirit within me created the form that I am. But it is just as much the I am that I am as the form I exist in. So to me, that's what freedom is. Freedom is knowing that I am the creative force. And I also have the power to maintain and to destroy, to tumble the blocks and to collect them again in a new form. Thank you, Mimi. The perfect ending was Mimi tumbling blocks. And so it is. I just